Remember those news stories about employers demanding that job candidates give them their Facebook passwords so they could get more information about them? Well, lawmakers responded, and Illinois is now one of six states with laws that block employers from demanding their employees' social media passwords. But one Illinois Republican says the law goes too far. State Representative Jim Durkin is sponsoring a bill that would allow limited access for bosses into their workers' social media accounts. Durkin is one of our guests today on Focus. We'll also hear about the legal questions involved from law professor Lori Andrews at the Chicago Kent College of Law. And we want to hear from you, whether you're a worker or a boss, about this issue raised by an internet phenomenon that did not even exist 10 years ago. I'm Jim Meadows. Focus begins after this hour's news. Welcome to Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. A teacher in Michigan is suspended after refusing to let school officials view a reportedly inappropriate photo on her Facebook page. The Maryland Department of Corrections demands passwords to employees' and job applicants' Facebook pages. Then it relents and merely asks those employees and applicants to log onto their Facebook pages right in front of corrections officials so they can view anything they feel is inappropriate. These are a couple of examples reported in the news of employers pressuring employees about their social media accounts. They happened in two states, Michigan and Maryland, which have since passed laws blocking employers from looking around in their employees' Facebook pages. Illinois is another state with its own Facebook law. But are there situations where the employer has a right, maybe a duty, to seek the information that a worker's Facebook or Twitter or other account might reveal? Well, that's the point behind a bill that would revise Illinois' Facebook law. We'll talk with the sponsor of that bill, State Representative Jim Durkin, in a few minutes. Right now, I want to check in with Illinois Public Radio State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky, who can get us up to speed on Illinois' Facebook law and this new proposal to revise it. Amanda, welcome back to Focus.
Thanks so much.
And this must have been something that you followed last year when this original law first came up before the legislature. How was it debated at the time?
Yes, and so you had the House pass the measure last March, and the Senate follow suit in May. It is officially it took effect since January that no longer can employers request or require an employee to disclose their username, their password for Facebook, social media, or any electronic communications device. And it did get a lot of attention at that point in time. And you saw a split vote, at least in the House. The vote then was 78-30 with one representative abstaining. But you didn't see it catching that much controversy in the Senate, where it passed 55-0 in the Illinois Senate last year.
Okay, and one of the people who did vote against it in the House was Representative Jim Durkin, and he's the sponsor of the bill to amend it this year. One thing I was wondering, do you remember any specific instances being mentioned that happened in Illinois that would be relevant to the law?
No, that was actually interesting, and I know when we did stories on this, that was included, that whereas there was a lot of fuss about this and how the representative who is sponsor of this measure, that's LaShawn Ford, and he's from Chicago, he's a Democrat, said, we need to hurry up and do this. I've heard of instances. But when we tried to look for occasions where employers had tried to coerce or force employees to share this information, we really only found a couple, and they were tenuous links and not in Illinois. That's not to say if you would speak to Representative Ford that that is not cause for concern. You have, of course, many instances that could go unreported. An employee may not be required to have given that information, but for fear of retribution or fear of being fired, comply. Or even as if you look at kind of another, it's not social media, but one of these other questions as technology develops in this day and age, Illinois is it has gone forward with various measures that would regulate the use of drones, for example. And it's not as if we see drones all over the sky right now. However, we may well soon. And so I think the legislature does a lot of forward-looking, or at least trying to foresee the future as they regulate.
Well, I gather, certainly in the case of Facebook, I think social media companies favor laws like this, but I also gather that there are other companies that do not, that feel they need to have this freedom, and that was the reason behind the bill that Mr. Durkin is sponsoring now.
Exactly. So, of course, as you said, there is it would think help companies like Facebook, like Twitter, because when they are perhaps called on, you know, to give information, there's laws that are cited. Of course, it makes employees feel better, employees who are constantly on and using social media. And I know a lot of people that, for instance, don't friend their bosses because they don't want them knowing what's going on in their personal life, or maybe that's where they make comments about their workplace. But what Representative Durkin, and I'm sure you'll hear him say this, said from the onset was that he thinks there needs to be some sort of exception in case there is an employer that is sharing private information, or if there is some sort of investigation into the company and that needs to, and Facebook or Twitter has been used and they want to be able to see what went on and if there were any trade secrets shared, for example. So that's one of those issues. And, you know, it's interesting because I know you and I actually are both employees at the University of Illinois and therefore are held subject to a lot of state standards for ethics. And I read the ethics reports for state employees, many of whom have gotten in trouble for things that they have done on their work computers, including what they have posted on Facebook. So this just protects usernames, and the law that Illinois currently has in place just protects usernames and passwords. But most definitely, I think employers do still look out. You can search somebody easily depending on their privacy settings, or maybe have somebody else look up that is, say, a Facebook friend of someone, what has gone on an employer's page. And I know of an instance where a state government employee did get punished because he had posted, yes, during work hours and on a work computer, for example, a Facebook post that said he liked Michelle Obama, and that was seen as politics in the workplace, something that was forbidden for his position.
So in that case, it was a political comment made on the work email address during work hours.
I don't think it was a work email address. I think it was a Facebook page, actually.
Okay, but just doing that.
I'm not clear what email address was used, but it was because it was a work computer, for example.
Okay. This Durkin's bill, would it cover those sort of instances? How far would it go?
From my understanding of the representative's bill, it merely removes some of the language so that a company could still, and even as the law is now, for example, you can monitor a work computer, device, or network, but he is trying to get some sort of exemption again. So if there is an investigation, if there's a trade secret, if financial information has been leaked and it was done by an employee and it involves work information, that's what he's trying to get at, some sort of exemption there.
Well, how is this bill done so far?
It did pass the House, but it appears stuck in the Senate. So as of now, it does not look like it's getting anywhere. We have about, I think, 9 days left before the legislature is scheduled, at the very least, to adjourn. Not to say that bills can't move quickly in that point in time, but we have several factors at play here. First of all, Durkin is a Republican. Right now, you look at where the measure is being held in the Senate, and actually briefly spoke with the Senate sponsor, and he doesn't think it's going anywhere. There are very few measures that are brought to the top and kind of boil over and get fast-tracked, so I don't see this as being one of them. The General Assembly has moved forward with another bill that is a very delicate retooling, and it does get into the Securities and Exchanges component of things, and basically this measure seeks to comply with federal and state laws when it comes to very specific financial occasions, and that has passed, although even Representative LaShawn Ford questioned about it, but in the end there were no votes when just yesterday, in fact, that passed the House. So I see that as being part of this debate, but a very, very, very narrow component.
So there are two different bills?
There are. The Durkin bill is the main measure and the main legislation. However, there is now this separate bill that is sponsored by Representative Frank Montino. He's basically just trying to come into compliance, he says, with state and federal rules when it comes to security and exchange information. So, again, very, very slight there. Of course, Durkin voted for it.
And in the meantime, lawmakers may be distracted by things like pension reform and the budget and gambling and things like that.
Oh, yeah, you know, all those things, fracking, same-sex marriage. They did get medical marijuana to the governor's desk. But, yes, there is very much plenty ahead for the General Assembly to be working on as May 31st rapidly approaches.
Well, Amanda Vinicky, thank you very much for getting us up to date on where things stand with the bill.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now, well, let's go to the sponsor of the bill to find out more. State Representative Jim Durkin has been in the Illinois House since 2006. He's a former state and Cook County prosecutor who challenged Dick Durbin for the U.S. Senate. In 2002, he represents a district in the western Chicago suburbs. Mr. Durkin, welcome to Focus.
Jim, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And I don't know, we have you just for a few minutes, but I think I also want to bring in Lori Andrews, if she's with us right now. She's a professor of law and director for the Institute for Science, Law, and Technology at the Chicago-Kent College of Law. Professor Andrews, welcome to Focus.
Thanks so much.
Now, Mr. Durkin, tell me about your bill, and I noticed one in the context that you did not vote for the original Facebook bill last year. Was it because of the specific problems your bill is meant to address?
No, when this, I think that it's good to go back a little bit in history just to find what prompted this Facebook bill from about a year ago. And from my research, it shows that there was a March 2012 AP story about some incidents where an employer had requested or required some login credentials for applicants and employees, and it spread viral, you know, which has prompted all these different state houses to try to pass a law that was going to say that employers can't ask for that information. And I specifically asked a lot of questions of where the problem exists in Illinois. And I have not found one, and I specifically told the sponsor, Representative Ford, that this is a classic case of a solution in search of a problem. And I don't know where the outcry is with in the public employer, private employee world, that there is excessiveness or with employers who are stooping into their social media accounts. So I when this bill passed, it just made me think, my gosh, you know, we're now saying that employers, even in a situation where they believe that there's a crime that could be occurring, whether it's going to be some type of misappropriation or if there's a threat from one employee to another, they cannot ask the person who they believe is responsible for conveying that threat. They can't ask them, even ask the question of whether or not they could have their password and domain name to look into that media account if they believe that's where the threat came from. And with that bill that was passed last year, it says employers can't even ask the question. So to me, it's concerning from an employment perspective, but I also know that employers are caught in a very difficult situation because they have an obligation and a responsibility to ensure that they have a safe workplace, but also there are businesses that run on a different they run and they keep the lights on based on their business model and other types of trade secrets that they use to keep the engines running. And there is plenty of misappropriation that goes on throughout the world. People are hacking into accounts, whether it's employees or it's the opposition or the competitor from the outside world. And I think it unfairly, I think it went too far last year. It didn't realize how the world works, and I think it wasn't fair to say that employers cannot even ask the question. So the bill that I've presented doesn't exactly reverse everything that was done in that bill, but it says that employers should have that right to ask for that account information for devices that are supplied and paid for by the employer. But it also says that an employer cannot discipline or discharge or penalize an employee for refusing to give that information. So they just want to be able to ask the question. And I can think of many incidents where it is going to be, there are, which are, I don't think are so, you know, that are realistic, that have to be that have to be considered, where sometimes it's someone reports to an employer that an employee has posted a workplace-related threat on a social media network. Someone reports to an employer that he or she is being sexually harassed by another employee through postings on a social networking site. Confidential, or someone's posted confidential customer or client information on a social networking account. An example, a hospital employee has post a photo of a celebrity being treated for substance abuse at a hospital. I can go through a number of scenarios that are not unrealistic, and I think that the employer has an obligation to pursue whether there's some wrongdoings being conducted on an account that's paid for by the employer.
Now, you're saying are we only talking about work accounts which are supplied by the employer?
Or yes, that's what my legislation says.
It does not apply to a person's private...
No, the legislation actually does say it applies to a personal Internet account as well, and that's part of the reason why it's so overbroad. My employer can't open my mail. He can't come into my home. Can't put a video camera in my home to see if I'm talking or tap my phone to see if I'm saying something about my boss and not liking him. And yet this would not only gut the previous bill, but would open it up to huge abuses. Investigations should be handled by the police. We shouldn't have a wild west of employers. What is an employer going to do about it? And the reasons the employer can get into your email are so huge. Past illegal conduct. That means if my employer hears I had a beer in college with someone, that gives my employer the total freedom to look at anything in my private emails, in my personal Facebook page. And the reason we don't let employers do that is there's a long history of employers discriminating for the wrong reason. An employer can't ask my religion, but I might have something, a picture of me going to church or going to a friend's wedding at a church on my Facebook page. Now the employer has access to that. They also, in this bill, talk about you can investigate me if I've violated some code of conduct of my employer. Well, lots of code of conducts of employers have been held to be illegal. They may say things like, you can't drink off the job. 35% of employers say they won't hire someone who has a drink in his hand or her hand on a Facebook page, even an innocent wedding photo.
Okay, Professor, let me reintroduce Professor Laurie Andrews from Chicago Kent College of Law. I wonder if we can get back to the first point you make as to whether or not Mr. Durkin's bill only applies to work-supplied accounts. Mr. Durkin, can you go over the language of the bill here?
Sure. It says an employer may request an employee to disclose any username, password, or other means of authentication for accessing electronic communications device supplied or paid in whole or part by the employer.
Okay, supplied or paid in whole or part by the employer. Does that refer to the device or to the account?
It doesn't, because it does say there's a definition here for a personal, your personal Internet account, which includes your personal Gmail, which is not linked to the computer that it's on.
Well, this is a, I don't have an iPhone, but my daughter's more sophisticated with computers than I am. But I think the bill that I've passed in the House, I don't expect any action over the next 9 days. But it is something which I will continue to try to fine tune. This is a first attempt to try to make some corrective measures to a bill that I think that was well-intentioned, but I believe that is overly restrictive and does not. Again, I think it's going to force confusion, and I think it already is in the workplace with employers and how they in their HR departments. And the point of this we're trying to do is saying that we all walk through an office, we see whether it's a law firm, lawyers, and also staff are on their computers, and they're doing their work, but they're also chatting with friends or family member through Facebook or Twitter, and that's fine, and that's what you want to make sure that you have a good morale at the workplace, and employers don't want to shut down that type of access for the employees. But to suggest that there's not workplace violence or people that are stealing from the employer important information, which is proprietary, that's realistic. And to say that let's let the police just do their job. Now, to go to Facebook, if it's a Facebook threat, what it requires is that if there is a threat, they can't ask the person who they believe has conveyed the threat They have to go call in the police to be able to conduct an interview.
You can ask them. You just can't look at their personal email.
No. I got the floor right now. Hold on, ma'am.
You already have that right.
I have the floor, ma'am. Now, to be able to conduct that investigation, you have to call in, let's say, the Chicago Police Department. Detectives have to go over, work up a search warrant, try to find probable cause. And when they get that probable cause, then they have to get a judge sign it, and then it goes to Facebook Legal over an email. And, you know, sometimes time is of the essence, and I think that the employer has an obligation, again, to provide for a safe workplace. And I'll respect the professor's comments. It's a complicated area that I believe was made more complicated with the bill that was passed last year. That bill that passed last year does not recognize the realities of running a business and keeping the lights on, and also the responsibilities that they have. So we are not going to pass, it doesn't appear that we're going to pass the bill out of the Senate. And I'm very open to making this a better bill. It is as I've said it before, it's a complicated area of law that has a number of employers and employment lawyers who I know who are very confused and a bit concerned about the bill as passed last year. And how can we provide reasonable exceptions for the employer to make an inquiry or do nothing more than ask whether they can have the username and password on an account if they believe that there is some type of illegal activity that's going on in the account an account which they are supplied to that employee.
And Mr. Durkin, if I can ask, I know I only have you for a few more minutes.
Yes.
One thing I wanted to check with you, have you heard specifically from employers? Have they come to you with worries that they have?
There is a trade association that has been working with me out of Washington, and I have not talked to the employers per se, but I've spoken with the attorneys who are representing their these companies, and they are trying to work through and trying to see how they're going to be compliant based on the laws passed last year.
Okay. And as far as social media companies, I know Facebook was very much opposed to the when they heard the initial reports of employers demanding demanding to get access to employees' Facebook pages. Do they see this? Have they been in contact with you, and do they see this as a good workaround?
They have not spoken to me. I have not heard from them. They have a variety of lobbyists throughout the country, and I would welcome their comments and their suggestions. But I'm looking at it from a perspective of how do we balance the rights of the employees with respect to the employer's obligations, what they must provide to, and I sound like a broken record, but to make sure that they've got a safe workplace, but also that proprietary information, which they've worked and which is what keeps the, you know, the lights on, keeps people employed, that those are not being infringed upon.
I know there have been, you know, there are, I think, 6 states that have some sort of Facebook law. There have been efforts on the federal level. Nothing has succeeded. Do you think this is a question that is best answered at the federal level, and doing it at the state level is just
I think it's best at the federal level, but I think that a lot of people are jumping on the issue because it's a sexy issue. It deals with Facebook, it deals with social media accounts, and those are obviously extremely popular. But I think that there needs to be I think states need to slow down and understand exactly. What is the problem that they are seeking to solve? And a lot of it is based on, and as Amanda stated earlier, there's really been no report in Illinois of this abuse by employers with respect to that employee's use of these social media accounts. So and that's part of the problem of Springfield, is that we oftentimes we react in a knee-jerk fashion based on something that's in print media, or we see that a reporter has put together an incident, and that's just the nature of politics and government. So, but I think that we need to move slowly, and let's do things the right way. And if there's a problem, let's identify it. Let's see how we can fix it. But we didn't. But with creating this law the last year, it's causing confusion within the number of the employment sectors throughout Illinois. It's not only just private employers, but it's public employers, too, who are left with the situation. And I think at some point they're going to say that they're no longer going to, they're just going to shut down Facebook accounts. They can't, you know, for employees, because there's going to be so much exposure moving forward. And I don't think they want to do that because, you know, there's, you know, a parent wants to talk to a child who's in college or overseas, they can do it through Facebook. It's a lot easier than picking up the phone. And I think that's good, and it also keeps morale high. But they're also, you know, when you have laws that are, I think, has unintended consequences that go too far, it's going to make employers rethink of how they are going to allow for employees to use the electronic communications or the devices that are currently on their desk that are paid by the employer.
Okay, I'm getting we're getting into the halfway point. I understand, Mr. Durkin, that you have to go.
That's correct.
But the bill is House Bill 1047. May not be going for any action in the Senate, but it may come back perhaps in the veto session or next spring.
Yes, I will work with this over the summer with people who are on the other side of the issue and see if there's a way we can make it more narrow, tighten some of the language in here. Because the last thing I want to do is to give employers, for them to be snooping into employees' accounts for no reason. That's not right. But I believe employers do have a right to at least ask a question. And that's all. And let's get back to the original premise that my bill just says they would like to ask the employee if they can get access to that information. But the legislation also says the employer cannot discharge, discipline, or penalize an employee for saying no. So let's remember that.
Okay. Well, Mr. Durkin, thank you very much for being with us on Focus today.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a short break, and then we'll continue with Professor Laurie Andrews to talk about this subject about people's rights concerning social media. This is a Focus on WYLL. We're back on Focus. I'm Jim Meadows. Again, our thanks to State Representative Jim Durkin, who had to leave us. There's a lot of work going on in Springfield today, but thanks to him for talking about his bill concerning access by employers to Facebook. Professor Laurie Andrews, you obviously have views about this, but why don't you talk a little bit about what you've seen as far as the other laws around the state. Is Illinois' Facebook law like the other laws in the other five states that have them?
It is, in the sense that I don't see why Mr. Durkin was saying that it's so complicated. It just says your employer can't ask for your Facebook password. If you threaten another employee over Facebook, that other employee can bring in a printout of a threat. You can ask your employee, did you threaten this other person? And so it just says you can't ask for someone's social network password. And it was found to be important because companies in Illinois, like career builders that do studies of employers, have found that employers were using social media inappropriately, were getting information they never should have had. You can't ask me as a healthy woman, do I have a family history of breast cancer? Because you're not supposed to be able to turn me down for a job because I might later have a medical bill. And yet, if I like Angelina Jolie's op-ed about her breast cancer, an employer might think, oh, this woman's going to be costly, and so might not hire me or might fire me based on that information. So those are real, real concerns. Mr. Durkin was saying that he didn't see evidence of problems. Well, I have seen evidence of problems, but it's, to me, ironic because Timothy Geithner of the publication Tech Dirt has criticized Mr. Durkin's type of bill exactly because there's no evidence for that. And in the criticism, he wrote that if you were able to look at every single instance of employee misconduct, trade secret revealing, workplace violence, what percentage would have been prevented by proactive investigation of social media? There's no evidence that that's the way to cure employers taking data from employees, for example. I think that we've forgotten that the context is if you're on your employer's device, your employer has a right to monitor every single thing you do.
And Mr. Durkin says that's what he's referring to.
Well, that right already exists. My employer can look at anything I do on my computer. The employer can't, and the employer can even say, you can't do Facebook at work. What the employer can't do is use my password to go on my Facebook page, whether I'm at work or at home. So Mr. Durkin's bill actually says that not only would employers be able to get my personal Facebook password, but also my personal Gmail or other email password. And so it's very out of line, and this is why I wrote a book in this area. I was so amazed at how out of line our online rights are compared to our home rights.
And you're talking, is that the book, I Know Who You Are, I Saw What You Did, Social Networks and the Death of Privacy?
Yes, and so, just as employers couldn't snoop in my home, they shouldn't be able to snoop in my online home, which is my personal email accounts, my personal Facebook accounts. And I was troubled, as you could see, by the fact that it's really broad. They can come up with any rule, any code of conduct as an employer, and if they have any hint or suspicion, like if my rival at work says, oh, I think Lori might be doing X, Y, Z, or might be violating the code of conduct that you're not supposed to play, video games on your at home, that's a reason they can look. If I had a beer in college, that's a reason they can look. So it's really, really broad. It turns us into a state where we're guilty until proven innocent. And as a lawyer, one reason I'm, really worried about it is that there's so much possibility for discretion. So if my boss is taking credit for my ideas, he might decide to snoop in my email account and find that I took a box of staples home. And because he likes some other person on the job, might not look at his email account, even though that person's padding his expense account and costing the company much more. That's why we have legal rules that don't allow employers, police, and so forth to look at your personal effects without a warrant or some other activity. But the whole employment thing is just really the tip of the iceberg in this area. We've had high school students being kicked out of schools because of posting something negative about a class, and now courts have gotten involved in that and have said, students in public high schools have a First Amendment right to say what they want on their MySpace page unless, as long as it's not causing harm to someone else or disrupting the whole school. There are just lots of other intriguing things that are coming up. Facebook posts have become a big topic in divorce cases. And women have lost custody of their children because they've posted a sexy picture on Facebook, even when courts have not actually interviewed the child to see if the child's been subject to abuse or neglect. So, in a way, our digital self is becoming more important than our ordinary self.
This raises questions about what social media is and what it is in terms of its legal definitions. Does the law have a good handle yet on what social media is? We're talking about something which may be very public or may be restricted, and at any rate is often conducted by means of a private company which supplies the service and often claims its own proprietary ownership of the content that its users send in.
That's a huge issue. There's a security analyst who said, think about if the government or a company tried to get the most personal data, sexual preferences, political beliefs of a billion people. And he said it would take money, it would take lawyers, it might even take guns if the government wanted that sort of information. But Facebook has that information on a billion people. And Google has tons of information about you, what you've looked up. Have you looked up things for medical conditions? Have you looked up guns? Those sorts of things. And interestingly, when the government asks Google for information about individuals, 93% of the time, Google turns it over. So whole criminal prosecutions have been based on Google searches, which is astonishing. I mean, I'm particularly interested in that because I also write mystery books, and when I blew up the White House, so imagine if the FBI tries to look at the kind of Google searches I did for explosives, even though I didn't necessarily plan any harm with it.
I'm looking. We have some comments coming in from email at will-talk at illinois.edu. One from Bruce, he writes, I don't understand the controversy. If I'm being paid for my time or presence, why would I not expect scrutiny? We say, under my roof, my rules to our kids, our home visitors. What do I have to hide from my boss? Doesn't the business owner or corporation have a right to protect itself against sabotage or espionage? IT companies can recall any key I press. Knowing this can keep you honest. And there is, I guess, also the assumption of whether people would be doing something that is actually honest or dishonest, or just something that might put them in a bad light with their employers. But
Sure. So let me clarify, because Mr. Durkin did not make this clear. Employers already have that right. What his bill does is to say that if an employer suspects you, they have a right to get personal email passwords and get social network passwords on things you only do at home. If you only do Facebook at home, your employer can look into that. And so that's not under my house, my rules. In fact, there are protections in other states, like New York State, which say your employer has no business looking at whether you are doing something, and this goes beyond Facebook, whether you they can't get access to information about whether you drink off the job or smoke off the job, or they can't get information about your hobbies off the job and use them in a way against you. So what we're talking about is access to things you do at home, because employers already have access the things you do in the workplace.
Even if it's on an account or a device supplied by the company, if they do it at home, then it's automatically off limits?
If it's a device, they have rights. There's a Supreme Court case already saying, what a cop does on his phone that is supplied by the department. If he's text messaging, if he's texting his girlfriend, for example, the employer can snoop into that. So what we're really doing is just moving the snooping place to include anything you do on any electronic device so that you, in fact, own. Because, they don't need to come to your house to look at what you post on Facebook. They would have that password at work and go on it, even though you never went on it on a work computer and you never went on it on a home computer. You never went on it on at the workplace.
Now, I understand you've written what amounts to a constitution for social media. I wonder if I could ask you a little bit about that and what it's meant to cover and how it might apply to situations in the workplace.
Mm-hmm. Well, it would more serve as a model and would put some limits. So one would have a right to privacy with what you post online. And one of the key problems with employees having access to your personal emails and your personal Facebook is there's tons of stuff on it that have nothing to do with the employer. There might be things about your emails to your doctor, for example, or to your boyfriend. There's way more stuff than an employer should have any right to know. And so I think in order to keep those things private, the vast majority of them, you have to say this is your online home and you shouldn't get into it. But even beyond the traditional rights of free expression and privacy that are protected offline, there are lots of other ways in which social networks have, caused consternation for the legal system. It turns out that jurors in criminal trials are actually Googling information like a Google map to the at crime scene. They're going on the MySpace pages of witnesses. And so you're only supposed to be able to decide cases based on what you hear in the courtroom. But when jurors go on a Google map, they say, oh, well, this witness, it might be, probably gave a good description because I see there's a street light in that area. And it the attorneys don't even know what the jurors have read elsewhere, and so they don't have a chance to cross-examine and say, oh, on that night the light was broken, it was raining, you couldn't give a good description. And some jurors have actually posted the facts of criminal cases on their Facebook page, on a case they're sitting on, and asked their friends to vote up or down.
Well, isn't that something that you would expect would sort of go outside the rules for jurors anyway? I mean, if you translated any of this to something besides social media, I would suspect it would be something that the judge would frown upon.
Absolutely. So you are absolutely not supposed to discuss cases with anyone. You're not supposed to look up information. And it was a little harder to do that. Maybe you would talk to your spouse about the case. And so there were probably some violations going on. But you didn't, you know, talk to your 2,000 friends. It would take a real effort to go to a library to look up a medical condition that the one witness or the victim says he has. But now you can do it at a break in the court on your iPhone. So what I'm seeing is throughout law, we need to make sure, through a constitution, that our traditional rights are protected. There's no reason to upend those rights just because a new technology has come along.
Well, this is Focus. I'm Jim Meadows, and there's still time for your questions about social media, the workplace, and the law. You can give us a call at 333-9455 or call us toll-free at 1-800-222-9455. And I believe somebody has just done that. Line one, Amy in Urbana. Good morning. You're on Focus.
Hi, what a fascinating show, and I'm so glad that you are taking part to respond to this legislation and to address some of the errors that it's being presented as it was discussed earlier in the show. I have a question, though. The Internet's blurring these lines between private and public, as you talked about a lot, and I see the discussion around this calling the public to just accept this blurring as the way of the future, the way things happen now. But I find that really problematic, especially considering that the Internet's highly commercial. Facebook, in particular, that you're talking about here and that this legislation deals with, is an advertising space. It's funded primarily on advertising. And so I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about that notion. Should we just see this as the way things are going? Should we be concerned about this and concerned about people who are telling us just to accept these blurring of lines? And I'll take that answer off air. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Amy.
What a great question, and what an insightful, thing to point out. That you're absolutely right. Facebook makes 86% of its money. Google makes 90% of their money trading on our private information. And what does that mean? Information about what we do on the web is sold to data aggregators. Google itself is a data aggregator. So Google scans the content of my emails. Google looks at what I look up on through the search engine and what I watch on YouTube, and through that forms a picture of me. And it could be used to benefit me. If I've gone to the Macy's website, maybe I'll get a $10 coupon off from Macy's. But it also could be used in a way to disadvantage me. And life insurance companies now are saying, we are going to do away with blood tests and urine tests. They're costly to perform, but on the advice of Deloitte Consulting, they're going to use social media to decide whether you deserve life insurance. And so what they would look at on your social media page, they actually presented a slide about this at one meeting, they'd be less likely to grant you life insurance if you commute to work, eat junk food, or are an avid reader. So the thought is, if you're an avid reader, you must be sedentary, you're more likely to have a heart attack early. And so it's really terrifying, the whole commercialization of the data in this area, because you know, I think a lot of people don't know what's going on, don't know about companies like Axiom, which has 1,500 pieces of information on 96% of Americans. And it's because social media is, in fact, looked upon in some senses as public. When you look up a word on dictionary.com, dictionary.com puts 233 tracking mechanisms on your computer to watch where you go around the web. That sounds like something from a sci-fi novel, but then that is used to judge you. So if I've gone on an inexpensive website, like a Walmart website, a Target website, and then I go to a credit card site, I'll actually be offered a less good credit card than if I'd come from a Saks Fifth Avenue website. And in fact, one young man who had great credit, had a condo, had a great job, returned from his honeymoon with a letter from American Express saying, "We've changed your limit from $10,000 to $3,000, not because of anything you did. He paid off his credit card every month, but because you shopped at a place where, in the aggregate, people are less likely to pay off their credit card bill." So we are being discriminated against based on where we go on the web, and you're sitting in, you know, you're sitting in your jammies and you're, you know, buying things online, and you may never realize this is going on.
And this gets into a whole lot of issues besides the legislation we were talking about today, which regards what employers are doing with their employees or their job applicants' social media. But it does sound like it's going to take a lot more than individual laws to really settle things here as to what social media is and how it relates to issues like free speech and rights to privacy.
Absolutely. And you asked earlier about federal legislation, and there are some people in Congress, Congressman Markey, Senator Franken, who are concerned about this monitoring of people and the discrimination that results. And so we may indeed see some federal legislation. The Federal Trade Commission, too, is concerned. And I think they have a terrific proposal, which is they want to have a do not track button, you know, like you have the do not call list. And, in fact, the chairman of the Federal Trade Commission once said that he thought people would love it because the comedian Dave Barry said that the do not call list was the second greatest government invention after the Elvis stamp. So why not? If you can't call me when I'm having dinner, if I can opt out of commercial entities reaching out to my home, why not have a do not track list, which does not allow, which forbids commercial enterprises from putting cookies on my computer or otherwise tracking me unless I've actually asked for Macy's to send me coupons.
You know, going back to the particular laws in question with employers, mm-hmm. We have an email coming in noting, we are repeatedly told by IT experts never to share our passwords because once someone has access to one's social media account, it's that's much easier to ferret out passwords for email and banking accounts, allowing employers to access and share our login information is, we're told, a major security risk in an era of rampant identity theft. And that made me think of the situation with the Maryland Department of Corrections that I mentioned up at the beginning of the show, where they were asking for passwords to employees and applicants' social media accounts, but then settled. And perhaps it's because of the Facebook law that is in effect in Maryland. I don't know it for sure. But they then settled to simply asking those applicants and employees to log on and to let them look.
Well, that shoulder surfing has its own problems, though, because it does allow employers access to the very things that they're not supposed to be able to ask you, religion, sexual preference, and so forth. So, you know, however the employer gets on, it's a problem. You're right, it's a much bigger problem because people are lazy and use the same Facebook password for other things. And in fact, the reason Facebook supports the laws like the one currently effect in Illinois banning employers from asking for your social network password is it's a violation of Facebook's terms of service to give anyone your password. In fact, Facebook can bounce you off if they find out that you're passing your Facebook password around.
Well, we're going to have to actually end the conversation there because we are out of time, but I predict many more conversations on this subject ahead in future editions of Focus. And Professor Laurie Andrews, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program today to try to help us start getting our heads around this issue of social media, the workplace, and overall legal status. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thank you very much to State Representative Jim Durkin for talking about his bill, which is currently has been passed by the Illinois House and is in the Illinois Senate. It is HB 1047, the bill number HB 1047. And our thanks to IPR State House Bureau Chief Amanda Vinicky for coming on the program as well. Today's show was produced by Lindsay Moon. Tomorrow on Focus, wheelchair athlete Ryan Chalmers is a U of I grad who is pushing himself across the country in a wheelchair to raise awareness of the potentials for all people with disabilities. And he'll be on our show on Focus tomorrow morning. That's on Thursday's show. I'm Jim Meadows. This is Focus on WYLL.